Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Here we are in the middle of summer. And you know, believe it or not, it's kind of going quick. But I'm kind of excited today to have a partner in crime of mine, Todd Kominiak with Creative Compass. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, David. Yeah, this summer's been real quick. I feel like it gets every year, it gets a little bit quicker and quicker.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it's a factor of age.
Yeah.
We all kind of reflect on that a little bit, right? I'm really excited to have you here today because, you know, before I jump into my questions, like, why don't you just kind of give everybody a little bit of your background, you know, how you became to be a part owner in your organization and what ignited your entrepreneurial spirit?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been working in kind of marketing and strategic communications for over a decade now. I've bounced around a couple different industries from education to technology. One of the colleagues I met at one of my previous organizations was Tyson Ta. And we decided that there was a real need to support local and small businesses in not only the DC area, but throughout the country in helping them focus on their strategic marketing, branding, messaging. We found that a lot of organizations were just really having trouble navigating, okay, I've got this business, but how do I amplify our message and get it out there? So we thought there was a real opportunity to support those organizations. And so we started Creative Compass Group as a kind of nimble, sort of agile way to support these organizations in their marketing, messaging, design. So we kind of run the gamut across all the different major areas in marketing and sales.
Awesome. How's it feel like to be an independent business owner?
It's interesting. It's, you know, there's always a challenge, a new challenge every day, but it's been really rewarding, I think. And the kind of freedom you get for kind of creating your own schedule, working on the projects you really want to work with, you can't beat that. So it's been challenging, but great at the same time.
Yeah. I look at this, when I look at people that are specialized in a particular field or an industry, right, or that are the go-to people. And I was just, this literally just kind of popped in my head, so I kind of segue a little bit. And they're going, here you are, you're helping people with their messaging and their media and their communication. Who's helping you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I mean, we bring our experience from the past for sure. And, you know, we constantly are talking with folks, not to make a deal, not to, you know, get more business, but just to learn. You know, we're constantly, you know, networking with other organizations who are doing similar things. We're trying to partner with organizations when there's an opportunity. We really take the philosophy of, you know, being open, honest when we don't know something, trying to learn about that. So we really take kind of an educational approach to all the work that we do. And we're all about partnership and finding ways to kind of amplify not only our business, but other people's business when it makes sense.
Yeah, I think regardless of the business or room, we could be very good at what we do. We may even teeter on mastery of some of the things and functions that we do on a day to day, but there's always newer bridges to cross.
Absolutely. Right?
And until we're challenged in our creative mindset by our consumers, that might open up a different door or an avenue to provide a solution we hadn't quite looked for yet. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very easy to, you know, do the things that are working and not ever need to look at other strategies. But sometimes, you know, you get challenged by folks asking, really good questions about, you know, why aren't we doing this or why aren't we doing that? And sometimes it's just things you may have overlooked or things you haven't really worked on in the past. And I think it's really valuable to be open and not defensive when people have questions and new ideas. You really got to be open to new ideas, especially in such a, you know, rapidly changing industry with, you know, technology and kind of everything that's going on. You really have to be open to the new opportunities and the new strategies that may help, you know, you in the future.
You know, so I've been in the real estate industry for 17 years, which just boggles the mind to me personally.
Going back to that quickening of time, you know?
Exactly. But when I think back to when I got my license, the things that I was doing then, and there's a lot of similarities to some of the things that I'm doing now. But one of the common elements that I had always kind of adhered to was communication, but communication from me personally to a degree, right? As well as I can manage it. There was I feel like most of the 2010 decade, right? There was a lot of, let's figure this out, but we were very sped up on automation and it kind of devalued and made a lot of our communication stale. And I'll give examples like, hey, clean your gutters, or hey, here's my cookie recipe, or hey, here's my, you know, whatever favorite soup recipe for July, right? That type of communication. So I think there's a stigma around mass communication now about what that was, when at the same time we're driving home how important it is to be unique, personal, and yourself when it comes to your brand and your business. How do you manage somebody's personal relationship with their consumers and direction, right? And make it look unique and special to them while they're utilizing an outsourced company like yourself for leverage?
Well, I think the most important first step is understanding what that voice is, right? So as you mentioned, everyone's unique. Everyone's got their own kind of approach to how they do things. And you can't really fake that. I mean, people try to kind of sometimes force a brand or force a message or kind of force an approach. And we tell our customers, you know, what are you trying to say? Who are you? And let's take advantage of that. Now, I think the thing that a lot of people kind of sometimes forget about is, especially when it comes to something like email communication, or like you said, mass communication, you know, we get bombarded, we being any consumer, with so many pieces of communication and content every day that it's really hard to sift through. And if you're not adding value to that, if you're not giving people things that they can actually use in their everyday life, in their in their companies, in their businesses, they're gonna just, you know, throw that away. So, you know, I think the two important things are really understanding what your voice is and what you're trying to say. And that's an exercise we always start with whenever we make a new engagement, is let's go through and answer these key questions about who you are and what you're trying to say before any design work, before anything, you know, related to a brand development. Just who are you and what's your story? And from that, let's kind of come up with a strategy that adheres to that. And then also being sure that everything you're communicating is adding value and adding something that people can use. I think those are really the two big important pieces that we always try and hammer home to folks when we're starting off an engagement with a company or with a individual person.
How hard is it to keep coming up with relevant content, right? Or spinning content that, because some things change and there's market and there's industry information, right? But there are new communications essentially from you to a degree with maybe a monitoring. So how do you keep something that's older and relevant but fresh and new?
Yeah, I mean that's a big challenge, and it, some folks are much easier than others. I mean we have organizations where you know, leaders have a lot to say, and they can talk off the cuff. They feel very comfortable recording videos or writing blogs, and just kind of they can knock it out on a weekly or daily basis. There's other organizations where people aren't maybe as you know, talkative or communicative. And so finding those pieces of content that really hammer home are really important. I always have the philosophy that no piece of content should only be used once. You can always reuse things. So if you create a video that's an hour long, let's chop that up and make that into social pieces. Let's convert that into blog posts. Let's convert that into e-guides or white papers. So never let a good piece of content, you know, kind of wither on the vine by only using it once. So that's one piece, is when you have really good content, figure out how best to use it in other ways. I think that's really important. And then again, I think, you know, it's really kind of working with our points of contact or our the thought leaders that we're supporting in figuring out how best they communicate. So if it's a matter of giving them key talking points that they can fill in the blanks on, or, you know, some of the best personalities we work with, they know what they're talking about, and makes our job very easy. It's just a matter of recording it, you know, translating into other pieces of content and utilizing what they're saying. So it's really on a case-by-case basis how best to support the individual personalities that we're working with.
There, you touched on a couple of things. I think a lot of people automatically, we hear video, 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 video. Reels, stories, video, YouTube, TikTok. That scares the hell out of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I think, as you mentioned, you could take one piece of content. And I think we look at the industry leaders or thought leaders across multiple spectrums. And a guy that comes to mind is like Gary Vaynerchuk. Like, mm-hmm. I see reels and stories and posts from him that I know are 5, 6, 7, 10 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, if if the piece of, if the content's relevant now, reuse it. I mean, there are some things, obviously, if you're, you know, inviting people to an event, or if you're talking about a specific monthly stats, you know, that's something that's not going to probably age well in the future. But I think if you're hammering and you're consistent with your message, then a lot of what you're saying should kind of be evergreen weeks, months, years later. So I think, again, and I agree. There is a challenge with folks who are worried, nervous about putting themselves out there on camera. And that's a learning process. But I think the thing we really try and hammer home to folks is, if you don't start, if you don't try, then you're not going to get anywhere. So start from scratch, start trying to record yourself, start trying to, you know, put your thoughts on paper, do whatever you feel most comfortable with. And from there you can build a message and a sort of regular cadence that you can work with in creating new content. You got to start. That's really the key thing. You got to start somewhere.
107 episodes ago, that was the conversation we were having. What's this going to look and sound like? And we didn't know.
Right.
We just threw ourselves in front of a couple of cameras and probably two guys that, you know, Joe and I, not necessarily you, that are more made for the audio side than the video side, but it helps kind of get, and you get, I can honestly, you do get much more comfortable. And there's a different element to presenting, instructing, and training in front of a live audience and then seeing yourself on camera and hearing your voice too.
Right. No, I mean, it's not an easy thing. It's for some people, it's not a thing that comes natural. And maybe it's not the thing for everyone to do, but I think if you don't start, try, see what works, and, you know, definitely kind of tweak what makes sense as you move forward and use the learnings to improve that content, you're not going to really get anywhere.
I have a conversation I feel like I've had for a very long time as I've been coaching leaders and business owners about branding. Mm-hmm. Now, I try and I'm careful about it because I learn to, but I have an opinion. So I just kind of wanted to hear your opinion. And I think there's some industry specific stuff that happens with small business owners. And we'll hear reframe. We'll kind of go over branding myself as the company or the brand, or coming up with an image or a brand or a name. Where should somebody look to go with that? Or how do they think that through?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's dependent on the on the company and what you're trying to get across. But I think
I think of lawyers, and you always think of their last names and their partnership, right? But their buy-in process is a little different,
right?
But when I look at the real estate industry, like there's almost like a defining line. It's I built the business, the consumers work with me, which I think to a degree is the detriment. And that's kind of why I get there. Mm-hmm. Like if you're building your business and they're thinking of it's Donaldson Realty Group, well, where's Donaldson if Donaldson's not there?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a pitfall. And I mean, I think the other thing is for maybe your kind of legacy customers or people you've worked with in the past, sure, there's some name recognition, but if you're just someone who is, you know, new to looking for a home or new to, you know, the industry, maybe that name doesn't bring any cachet. So like, you know, how are you presenting yourself in a way that kind of puts your values first and puts really kind of the offerings that you have and that kind of set you apart from other organizations? How do you make that front and center? One of the things I wanted to mention was, you know, we talk with a lot of organizations when we're first onboarding them, and they jump directly to, you know, the colors and the, you know, what is our logo, and all those things are important, but that all needs to feed out of who you are and what story you're trying to tell. So, you know, we always try and pump the brakes on that discussion before really jumping into who, you know, what is your value that you're going to be offering and that's going to differentiate you from the rest of the industry. That needs to be front and center, and then we can get to how best to position that through the kind of visual look and feel. So I do think you're right that there is a value in creating a brand that is not necessarily tied directly to a person, but I, at the same point, I wouldn't say that that's never a case where, you know, there, you could definitely have a brand that's so strong that it's worth putting that front and center. I think it's definitely a case by case.
It's hard to have, like I said, I have an opinion about it. But I think it's one of those things that it is case, and there is no wrong answer, but I think it bevies the conversation that as you are looking at growth,
yes,
that what is your goal for growth?
Right.
Right. Because if it is to step out, now that there could be a rebranding and different things that, but I think that has to go into play because specifically in real estate, when you become anything other than an individualized agent, right? If you do decide to grow a team or a business, you do have to create a corporation. You do have to add the deer license. And there is some branding requirements that go around that. So that actually does happen before the colors and the logos and the fonts. That happens probably earlier than people are ready.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I try to stimulate that to kind of have, maybe there's a transitional approach to it. It's you until it's not. And then it's a whatever, right? Powered by growth and then supported by, and then you're out, right?
I think that's a good point. And the other thing I'd mention is it also helps with the content piece, because if you're relying on your name, then you've got to be the one kind of front and center on everything that you're putting out there. If you have people who are experts on your team in a specific area, they could be, you know, having their own sort of content stream that could help with your business as well. So I think the more, to your point, you open up that brand, you kind of look towards a more holistic approach to what you're trying to put out there, then other folks can feed into the communications and everything that you're doing.
All right, let's take it back a little, because I think obviously videos and all those things, podcasts, TikToks, real stories, that's the hot thing that I think is unnerving to a lot of people. But at the core of it is print, is email, right? Heck, there's billboards out there. There's postcards that still get mailed out in mass. Where do you fall with that?
I mean, I think you have to know what's best for your audience. And that's a key, I think, that kind of another pitfall that sometimes people don't really get in touch with is understanding your audience and understanding the folks that you really want to get in touch with in a real way. You know, I don't think email's dead. I think it can still be effective if you drive value, if you're offering people, if it's not just the, you know, here's listings, you know, if you're driving real kind of value, as you mentioned, the little things like clean your gutters or those sorts of tips and tricks can go a long way. I mean, if you do it in the right way. So I think adding the value and knowing really what your audience wants and needs is the key piece. You know, if flyers you think are effective for a certain neighborhood or if and, you know, a particular segment of your audience, go for it. I mean, I think the great thing about digital is that in many ways it's cheaper to create. It's cheaper to coordinate the production of. You can tweak things much more easy than with print. But I have a kind of all of the above approach, but it's got to be really focused on your specific audience and the specific need of that campaign or that piece of content. So I wouldn't say, you know, only go with social media. That by far is not an approach to take. And I would definitely not say that email's dead, but you got to do everything with intentionality and with an understanding of your audience first.
So with all that, and I agree with the layered approach, right? Because depending how long you've been in the business, you're going to have a wider range of audience that's going to be utilizing more of those platforms, right? Mm-hmm. And I do agree that the relevancy of email relies on the individual messaging and how it's being leveraged.
Right.
Right. Let me backpedal. I think people overlook the most important element to those things are the measurables. So What is it that you guys look like when people go down on a campaign, however it might be layered, and provide feedback and say, hey, this is working, pour gasoline on this or pull back on these levers, try different things?
Well, I think you can't just send things out into the ether without understanding how you're going to track them. So, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're doing an email, we like to make every link that we have, or most of the links with a lot of our organizations, trackable through, you know, Google Analytics, so we can see actually where people are clicking. You know, I think open rate is great. People may be reading, maybe not. But I think one of the measurements I really like to look at is your click to open rate. So people are opening, and then are they actually clicking on something? Now, you know, with some email systems that can be automated, you know, it could be security checks. So it's not always a guarantee that someone's clicking and looking at something, but interactions once they open that email is really key. And so don't just look at openings because, again, they could open it real quick and then not look at it again or not really get the message.
So, so for everybody listening at home, so what you're saying is like, I send out an email, right? But I have to have some sort of call to action,
right,
to ask them to do something, to get that additional layer, that additional trigger to get them to engage or take them somewhere to truly be able to measure, did I get it through to them? Did they actually get eyes on it? And is there a strategic placement of where that CTA is and how that's ingrained in that?
I mean, you know, my philosophy, it also, again, depends on the type of messaging. If it's a newsletter where you're really kind of giving a summary of everything that's going on or kind of broader thought leadership, then it can be a longer piece of content. But, you know, if you're really trying to get folks to a certain event or to a certain resource that you have, you know, I like short, sweet emails and get to the CTA within a couple lines, and scatter it across your message a couple times. So that's very obvious. So I don't think there's a, specific standard you have to adhere to, but, obviously messages that are shorter, sweeter, and to the point and have, as you mentioned, a really clear CTA that people understand, like the point of the message. Those are always the ones that are going to, I think, work better. And then
layered,
on the print,
layered with good imaging and maybe even some video.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Make it scannable. I think sometimes people, if they see just a block of text without any kind of visuals or any kind of cues as to what I'm looking at, that can be overwhelming and they could, tap out pretty quickly. So, all those things factor in. And again, the key I think is, looking at what works, using those measurements, some of those measurements we just mentioned, or your own, the ones that you find most effective, and following up with those folks who have clicked and seeing if they're actually getting value out of that messaging, all that stuff is important. And then you could tweak, your campaigns moving forward. So it's a constant tweaking process. That's the marketing is, we're always kind of changing things and moving things around and seeing what works.
How do you know when something didn't work?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, if people aren't clicking on something or if they're not opening it, that's one.
Not just that. What is your timetable? I guess it's kind of really, so tie the two together.
Right.
How long do you need to let something run before you can really determine this isn't connecting?
I mean, I think in today's world with email, especially, it's a couple of days. If you're not seeing anything, sometimes people don't open an email immediately when it's out. A lot of email services, you may scatter the send based on, when you want people to see it. So I would give it a couple of days. But again, if you're not seeing, and again, this is another reason why those I mentioned, Google Analytics tracking, seeing if people are actually coming through and engaging in the CTA in a real way, seeing, who's coming to your website or to your resource and where are they coming from. You can easily track that with things like Google Analytics, which we, help our organization set up. So it's really diving in, not just at the kind of, those top level measurements, but really kind of diving into where things are going after that and following the journey of folks who are engaging with that email afterwards. Again, it also depends on if it's if it's an evergreen piece of content, maybe you let it, let your sort of judgment on how it's performing run a little bit further. Further out. If it's an event that's coming up in the next week or so and you really need to get people in there and it's not working, it might be time to send another email or tweak again. Again, obviously, you don't want to bombard people with spam, but or you look for other opportunities on social or with other kind of avenues to see how you can ramp up things like that.
All right, let's put everybody at ease a little bit, right? Because I think the biggest thing for most people is people are terrified of making mistakes, saying the wrong thing, especially on video. Give some examples without calling anybody out of some really brutal things that you've come across and be like, you're good because I've seen XYZ.
Well, I've seen, we've worked with some organizations where, people are insistent that they need to be on video and maybe they shouldn't be. sometimes you have to fight your battles and say, okay, this, we're going to put it out there and see how people react. And a lot of those times, those things kind of stumble and fall and kind of people learn the hard way. I don't have a particular one. We've been pretty lucky with the organizations we've worked with. But again, I think it's,
Whether it's either somebody you've worked with or something you've seen, you're like, ooh, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're, being you know, explicit, or if you're calling out people, or, you know, there's some people who just become, you know, obviously with social media too, just become kind of belligerent about things. That's not going to support your business in any way, you know? So,
well, yeah, well, you would actually bring up a good point. If you look at the nature of where we are in our political world right now, I always challenge people to scream into a pillow if you have to, but don't type it into your keyboard.
Exactly.
Especially as a business owner.
Yes.
Right. Opinions are, we all have them. The world doesn't necessarily see it. I've seen it affect people's business.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, as you mentioned, especially in today's climate, you could say the wrong thing and half the country doesn't like what you said. And that's, you know, they're not going to interact with you anymore. I mean, and definitely when it comes to your business accounts and things like that, although I would caution not to do it anywhere really, engaging with that. Especially if you have yourself out there as kind of the front and center piece of your business, you know, engage in conversations that are useful, engage in conversations that can add value. But, I would say stay away from those conversations that never actually really in the end amount to anything that's useful for anyone.
Well, and I specifically look at our industry because, again, I kind of go back to that unique, the individual branding that happens. Even if you run a team or a business, more times than not, you're talking through your personal channels on social.
Right.
Right. Because most people, look, sorry to burst everybody's bubble, while you necessarily need business pages for certain elements, majority of people aren't going there. So your voice and your messaging and even your branding is happening through your personal channels.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's my concern for most people in these types of environments of climates. I'm going, there's a lot of charged people out there. That's okay. Just don't feed the flames.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think, you know, when it comes to social media, think about how would you interact with someone on the street? I mean, would you say these things just in conversation with people? Maybe you would, but maybe you would. I think you might take a step back and kind of have some, you know, think about what you're going to say before you do some of these things. So, you know, it's easy to sit at home and type something out without really thinking about the impact. But I always kind of say, ground yourself in how would you have a conversation with this person, especially someone who could be a potential customer. How would you really want to engage with them in a real conversation?
So as we kind of wind down, I'm hearing you say a couple of things, right? So traditional means of media are not dead, right? We just need to know who it's going out to. We have to adapt and utilize additional technologies as they develop because our consumers will too. So we can't just turn our back. I get asked the question a lot. Again, I want to hear you say, people say, well, where do I start? And this one I'm going to say more is applied to probably on the social media side of around this. And there's always moving parts to that. But if somebody's new and they're online messaging, is there a platform to say, hey, this is probably your best place to get the best audience to get heard?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. You know, I personally find things like LinkedIn as a little bit more of a place where you can sort of test your messaging in a professional setting. You know, you're not going to maybe get the, you know, it's a little bit different of an exercise than, say, an Instagram. But the thing I would say is when you're trying to tiptoe into social media, things like Instagram, TikTok, obviously, though, you know, you need to feed that beast often. And if you're not doing that, and if you're not set up to do that, you're going to kind of, again, your content will wither on the vine a little bit. So, I find things like LinkedIn, I mean, Facebook as well, you know, it does depend on what the audience is you're trying to tap into. I think obviously with, the real estate industry in particular, it kind of lends itself well to things like to visual things like Instagram. But again, I think you really need to have a plan for being consistent, and finding your voice there. So I don't know if it's any one is in particularly the best, but if you're, again, I would just say have some plans in place before you really launch it and think about what your approach is going to be. Maybe you post once a week for a while and you kind of get the lay of the land and start to kind of build from there. But just have a really understand that you need to be consistent once you kind of tiptoe into any of these things or it's just not going to be effective.
Yeah, I think that's as they go all in too soon.
Yeah.
With the wrong messaging or the wrong cadence or their wrong social digital voice.
Agreed. And I think the other thing is you don't have to be everywhere. You have to be where your audience is going to be. So start with one. Start with the one you think is going to give you the best bang for your buck and work from there. And then you can apply a lot. I mean, a lot of these approaches work across different platforms once you get it going. But I would say start with one. Really focus on what you're saying, what your messaging is, how you're going to visually present yourself. And then you can apply that to other areas. But you really don't need we've engaged with folks where it's like, I need to be on 5 different social media channels. Well, maybe eventually, once you have a sort of machine built where you can be kind of applying it to all the different channels. But start somewhere and start consistently is what I would say.
I thank you. That's kind of where I wanted to get. Get one, master one, and be consistent with that.
Absolutely.
And balance your messaging. And I think that's where a lot of people miss is like you've got a personal connection to a lot of these people. You don't want to bastardize your business through your relationships. And again, tying back to what you're saying in email or online or handwritten flyers. But if you're coming from a genuine place of contribution, right, that messaging will stand out versus I had a closing, I had a listing, I have an open house.
Agreed. I was going to just say that, make that same point. Again, add value. Make yourself a place people need to find valuable information from. And don't just make it an announcement board, which can easily be kind of the trap people fall into where they're just, here's a thing I did, here's a thing I did, here's a thing I did. Well, that's great, but it doesn't always apply to everyone. And you really need to add value to what why should they be going back to your account and why should they be following you? Because they want to learn something.
Yeah. And as a rep, I'll mention this to everybody. There are 2 great books I think kind of can set you up for success. So there's a book called Hero and a Mission by Donald Miller, right? And Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall. Mm-hmm. Those 2 things really kind of get you in, I think, on the right frame of mind of how to communicate. And again, you can always go back to Gary Vaynerchuk. Well, some people may find him offensive. A lot of people might find him offensive. But I don't think there's a single more authentic person that I've seen over the last 15 years through social media.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue you don't like his personality, but you can't argue that he's not true to himself and he's not kind of putting out what he thinks. So I think you're right there. It's a good model, but it's something you got to build to for sure.
Yep. It doesn't happen overnight. Listen, Todd, I really appreciate you joining us today. I think we've got some really great key aspects for everybody. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us on Entrepreneurial Impact.